Good morning. I'm Mitch Wertlieb, and this is Vermont Reads, Poetry 180. Each year, with support from the Vermont Humanities Council, communities statewide take some time to share a common reading experience. This year's book is a collection of poetry edited by Billy Collins. Today, we'll consider poetry for the youngest among us. Educators say that most children love rhymes, and they say that poetry can be helpful in many ways as children learn to read, write, listen, and express themselves. VPR's Susan Keese explores some of the ways in which poetry is used in primary schools.
In her kindergarten class at Oak Grove School in Brattleboro, teacher Chelsea Dowd is reading a favorite story. It's Dr. Seuss's One Fish, Two Fish.
Some are thin and some are fat. The fat one has a yellow
hat.
From there to here, from here to there, funny things are
everywhere.
Many of the children have the same book at home, but that's not the only reason they're able to shout out the final word in every line. It's also because the rhyming pattern is predictable and easy to remember. Dowd says rhyme helps children understand how words work.
We use rhyme from the second kids come into the kindergarten classroom as a way to engage them in conversation, as a way to help them hear words and start to understand that words are made up of bunches of little sounds that can be put together to make new words or taken apart to spell words.
Dowd says that ability to distinguish the sounds that make up a word is a crucial early step in getting children ready to read. Linda Hecker is a reading specialist at the Landmark College Institute for Research and Training. She says learning to see patterns is another key step for beginning readers.
Patterned verse, whether it's rhyme or rhythm, the pattern lets you build up an expectation about what's coming next. And all of reading is based on patterns. So teaching kids from the very beginning that to listen for the patterns is incredibly useful.
Poet Veranda Porch brings a sense of play to her residencies as a visiting poetry teacher in schools. She recalls a class whose teacher loved to jump rope.
And I said, wouldn't it be great if we had our own jump rope rhyme?
The class considered everyone's name and discussed which were easiest to rhyme. The name they chose to end the first line set the pattern.
Here's one of my favorites. Tara, Craig, Toby and Maura bought some Milky Ways at the store, dropped them on the kitchen floor. Here comes Mama, better run out the door.
Porch says children respond naturally to rhythm and rhyme, but she uses other patterns too. She says any structure can provide a user-friendly framework that helps kids write more fluently. Recently, she helped some second graders write about a swimming spot called Sweet Pond. She handed out a list of prepositions, under, over, next to, above, and asked the kids to use them to begin each line. She says many of the results were beautiful.
Above the shivering sweet pond of my heart fly the dragonflies. Next to the whooshing water of sweet pond of my heart, the pretty green grass is growing.
In many cases, Porch acts as a scribe, writing down the children's words so they're free to focus on the poem. Poet Ann Gengarelli does that too. She's been writing poetry with children for 25 years in schools and in her poetry studio in Marlboro. Gengarelli's focus isn't so much on patterns and rhyme as it is on self-expression. She tries to help each child find words that have real meaning and importance to that child. She says it takes slowing down and listening intently to help each student connect with his or her authentic voice.
There was a boy recently who wrote a poem about how much he didn't like school. And he felt so empowered to be able to have a voice to express those negative feelings about school.
Gengarelli says children who struggle in school often write wonderful poetry. That success can help them feel more comfortable and invested in written language. Jack McKiernan is a special education teacher at Brattleboro's Oak Grove School. He's been bringing Gengarelli into his classes for 20 years.
Particularly for my students, any experience that enables them to be able to make better sense of their own feelings, to be able to convey those feelings in words to others, is a very important life skill.
McKiernan often helps out as a scribe during Gengarelli's sessions. Sometimes, after he reads a child's words back, he'll look up and find a young poet beaming with pleasure. For VPR News, I'm Susan Keese.
Billy Collins' collection Poetry 180 includes several works by Vermonters, including Blue Willow, a poem by Jody Gladding of East Callis.
Blue Willow. A pond will deepen toward the center like a plate. We traced its shallow rim, my mother steering my inner tube past the rushes where I looked for Moses. We said it was a trip around the world. In China, we wove through curtains of willow that tickled our necks. Let's do that again. And we double back, idle there, lifting our heads to the green rain. Swallows met over us. Later, I dreamed of flying with them. We had all the time in the world. We had the world. How could those trees be weeping?
Gladding also teaches poetry at the Vermont College of Fine Arts, and she says reading poetry is its own reward.
I don't think there's anything inherently good or good for you about it. So if you don't find it that way, fine. And I think it can be hard to experience that way because we all use language all the time, every day. And in poems, language operates a bit differently. So that can throw us off. To me, poetry is where we experience language at the moment of inception. And what I mean by that is it seems to me it's where linguistic energy first takes on form and words rise out of silence. And so it's alive and it's different from the other language that we hear around us all the time. So, for instance, if you were on a subway in New York and you looked up and you saw Mary Ruffel's poem Voyager above you, among all the advertising, or if you were driving to work and you turned on the radio and Garrison Keillor was reading a poem on Writer's Almanac, for that moment, you get to hear the silence that gives rise to language. And so you get to inhabit that resonant space where language happens. And, you know, there you are. And then you re-enter the day's chatter. But you've had that experience. And what could be better?
Jody Gladding's most recent book is Rooms and Their Airs. Our series, Vermont Reads, Poetry 180, continues tomorrow with a look at reading poetry in high school. You can share your thoughts at vpr.net. For VPR News, I'm Mitch Wertlieb.